Hey, when you got the money, go out and buy whatever the heck you want. If you want the Gucci, great. You can afford it. Your assets will pay for it. There's nothing wrong with you wanting nice things. I mean, that's why you work to get money in the first place. That way you can have that life that most people dream of. I want you to be able to get that. But if you want to be able to actually afford it, that way you don't have to worry about money, and so you don't have to work until you die, that means now you have to actually...
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to The Minority Mindset.
Building wealth isn't rocket science, but there are some little traps out there that if you don't catch them early on, they can make becoming wealthy extremely difficult. Now, some of these traps are very obvious. Like going to Gucci and financing a brand new Gucci belt is a pretty obvious financial trap where now you're buying something that's losing money, and then not on top of that, you're also paying interest to buy this thing that's losing you money. But there are a whole bunch of other traps that aren't so obvious that can really eat away at your chance of becoming financially wealthy. So let me go over 10 of the biggest financial traps that you need to avoid, with number one being avoid taking financial advice from broke people, because the reality is everybody has an opinion of what you should be doing with your money, how you should be investing your money, how you should be saving your money, what you should be buying with your money, and where you need to be keeping your money. And if somebody has never done anything with their own money and they're telling you what you need to be doing with your money, you want to be very, very, very cautious with that. And this is where it can become a little bit difficult, because the average person is broke. And the average person is doing very similar things. And now if you want to do something different and you start listening to what, let's just say, wealthy people do, that might require you to do something that everybody else thinks is weird. And this is where sometimes the popular opinion isn't the right thing to do. That's why I call what I do the minority mindset, because it's all about thinking differently than the majority of people. Because the reality is, if you keep doing what the majority of people do, you're going to end up like the majority of people, which financially is broke. And I don't say this to be funny or to just say this in general terms. I mean, statistically, the average person, the majority of people, have no money put aside for savings. The majority of people are living paycheck to paycheck. And so if you keep doing what everybody else does, and if you keep listening to the advice that everybody is giving you, if you keep doing that, you're going to end up just like everybody else. And this is where you might have to do things a little bit differently. And you want to be very cautious with who you're getting advice from. I mean, one of the things that I say is never blindly trust a random guy on YouTube. I don't recommend you do anything, because your goals are different than mine. Your risk tolerance is different than mine. Your time horizon is different than mine. Your investment education is different than mine. And what you're looking to do with your money is different than mine. And this is where you have to learn from different people, different opinions, and then find the best option for you. And you want to be very cautious when you're listening to somebody who has never earned any real amounts of wealth. And this is where also, if you're working with a financial advisor, I also want you to be cautious, because some financial advisors can be very good. Some financial advisors can be not so good. Because some financial advisors are just people making $75,000 a year by telling you what you need to be doing with your money when they've never actually achieved that wealth themselves. And so now, if you have a financial advisor, the thing that I always say is, good, nothing wrong with that. But you need to have enough financial education to know if your financial advisor is doing a good job or not. And you also need to look at how your financial advisor is being compensated, because if they're getting paid no matter what, whether you're losing money or making money, what is their incentive to make you any money? So you have to be very careful with the fees that your financial advisor is charging you. And you have to be especially careful with what type of advice you're listening from your financial advisor. This brings me to number two, which is, you don't want to be the person that's just stimulating the economy to make the economy function. Because in this economic system, the way that our economy works is, the more money you spend, the more money somebody else makes. The more money you spend at Sweetgreens, which I just tried Sweetgreens not too long very recently, and I've become a very big fan of Sweetgreens almost overnight. The more money you spend at Sweetgreens, the more money Sweetgreens makes. In order for the economy to grow, people have to spend more money. And we live in a consumer society here in America. Now, that's a good thing if you are an investor and a business owner, because people love spending money. But it's not so good if you are a consumer, because that means now, if you do what everybody else does, that means you're spending all your money and some with the help of credit card debt or home equity lines of credit or other loans, because people love spending money, which means you have nothing left to build your own wealth. And this is where I want you to understand that if you want to build wealth, you can't keep making everybody else rich. And the system is designed to get you to spend money. The best example that I can give you of this is just think of the stimulus checks. When the government sent out thousands of dollars worth of stimulus checks to people, what were those checks intended to do? Were they intended to A, make you wealthy, or B, make other people wealthy? If you think they were intended to make you wealthy, we got to go back to understand, what does a stimulus check do? It's there to stimulate the economy, meaning give the average American money because the government knows that the average American is going to go out and spend this money. And when the average American goes out and spends money that they got freshly in their pocket, that means Kroger makes more money. That means Amazon makes more money. That means Apple makes more money. That means Lululemon makes more money. That means Chipotle makes more money. That means Sweetgreens makes more money. And this is where now you have to understand that if the system is designed for people to spend money because it encourages people to spend money, everybody in the world wants you to spend your money. The government wants you to spend your money because that means it's going to grow the economy. And if the economy is growing, well, it's good for whoever's in power in government because then they can go out and talk about how strong the economy is and how they were able to stimulate the economy. So the government wants you to spend money. Wall Street wants you to spend your money because if you're spending your money, well, then Wall Street can show that their companies that they're invested in have higher profits and they're making more money and the investors will see their investments soar. Corporations want you to spend your money because if you're spending money, that means Walmart's making more money. And if Walmart's making more money, well, that's good for Walmart. And that's why they want you to spend more money. The only person that doesn't want you to spend money is you, because even your banker wants you to spend money because your banker wants you to spend so much money that you have to go into debt to continue spending money because your banker gets paid when you borrow money. And if you don't spend all that money, well, then your banker's not going to be getting paid. That's why now if you are the only person that doesn't want you to spend your money, you have to now build that financial education to understand when it's okay to spend. Look, there's not a problem with you having nice things. I want you to have all the nice things. I just want you to be able to afford it first. That's the key. Because the system is designed to get you to spend money. But if you spend all of your money today, you're never going to have any money to build your wealth tomorrow. And what I'm saying is, let's flip this up a little bit. Where now you spend your money to make yourself rich first, then you go out and make everybody else rich. And that's where now, hey, when you got the money, when you got the assets, go out and buy whatever the heck you want. If you want the Gucci, great, you can afford it. Your assets will pay for it. You want the BMW? Great, your assets can pay for it. You want a Rolls Royce? Fine, make sure you can afford it. There's nothing wrong with you wanting nice things. I mean, that's why you work to get money in the first place. That way you can have all the luxury, all the exotics, and live that life that most people dream of. I want you to be able to get that. But if you want to be able to actually afford it, that way you don't have to worry about money, and so you don't have to work until you die, that means now you have to actually flip the script and make yourself rich first. And if you're spending all of your money, you're never going to have a chance to make yourself rich first because you're so focused on making sure Amazon is rich. You're so focused on making sure Lululemon is rich. You're so focused on making sure that everybody else gets paid before you do. And if you want to build your own wealth first, you have to make sure that you build wealth first before you make everybody else rich. The third thing, the third trap that you want to avoid is investing emotionally. Now, the reason why this is so important is because, well, for one, investing has become so much more accessible to people, which is good. Number two, financial news and education has become so much more accessible to people, which is good. Number three, people also trade on emotion. And sometimes they don't know how to decipher the emotion from investment, education, which is not so good. And so what we've been seeing happen is over the last few years, especially because over the last few years after the pandemic, we've seen a huge boom in retail investors, meaning regular people who have opened up their first investment account, their first investment brokerage, and have started making their own investments themselves, which is great. But without any sort of financial education, that also opens up a whole new world of hurt because people want to find the next hot thing. And now with the news and the media so accessible, people want to do what everybody else is doing because that's the natural human nature. And so when you hear of the next meme stock start to pop off and you hear the news, you see CNBC talking about it, you see people on YouTube talking about it, you see people on Reddit talking about it, now you get excited because you see that the stock has jumped 300% and then you jump in and buy. Well, by the time it hits the news, you're probably too late. And then when things start to turn around, and whether it's a meme stock or anything else, that's when people start to panic. They start to sell. They start to get scared. They don't want to lose money. And so they sell. And so now instead of buying low, selling high, you're buying high and selling low. And this is why the average person ends up losing money in the stock market, when in reality, the stock market has grown over the last 100 years. This doesn't mean that the stock market has only gone up. There's been many periods, many years, where the stock market has gone down. But the people who have held long enough to good investments were able to make money again and again and again, because you hold through these cycles. And you can never do that if you're investing emotionally. And unfortunately, the easy access to stock brokerages and the easy access to all the information on the internet is a double-edged sword, where if you use it the right way and you learn to get educated and you learn how to invest your money smartly, you can build way more wealth. But if you fall into the emotional side and you just want to get into the get-rich-quick schemes and you want to find the quickest way to make a lot of money, I mean, who wants to get rich slowly? When you do that, well, you also risk losing all of your money and more, because now you're following your emotions instead of following your finances. And also because a lot of stock brokerages make it very easy to trade on margin. Margin is debt. And so now, instead of investing the $1,000 that you have and thinking, man, if I could double this $1,000, that would be great, you can invest $5,000, because now your stock brokerage is going to give you all that extra debt. And now you could double your $5,000, make a whole lot more money, but now you can lose all that money and some. Which is why, if you're going to be investing your money, you want to understand that, number one, long-term investing is where the real wealth is built. Number two, never invest more than you're willing to lose. Number three, understand that investing has risks. You're never guaranteed to make money when you invest. In fact, you will probably lose money at some point, which is why you want to never blindly trust a random guy on YouTube. And four, understand that patience is a huge key to building true long-term wealth, instead of being the person that's always trying to chase the next hot stock. Now, I have a free ebook on how to start investing your money, which goes over how you can start generating cash flow from investments. This ebook is through Market Insiders. If you want to read this ebook on how you can start investing and how you can start generating cash flow, it's completely free. If you want to read the ebook, I've got the link to how you can download it down in the description below. The fourth trap that you want to avoid is avoiding 0% APR, because the reality is there's a cost to borrowing money. Because when you go and borrow money to buy a home, the bank is going to charge you interest. When you go and borrow money on your credit card, your bank is going to charge you interest. Now, when a company charges you $1,000 to buy, say, a phone, but they're willing to sell you this phone at $100 a month with 0% APR, something has to be fishy there, because there's a cost to borrow money. I mean, $1,000 today is worth more than $1,000 a year from now. So if a company is letting you take their product and pay it off in installments, something has to be going on here. Well, there is. And there's the reason why 0% APR is so profitable to companies and is so profitable to banks, because they know that if they can offer you the 0% APR, number one, they're going to be able to sell way more stuff, because more and more people are going to buy this item at 0% APR who can't afford it otherwise. So now you stretch your finances even thinner. And then number two, they also know that when you go into the 0% APR, you're also going to go and buy way more things than you would if you bought the item outright. If you had to buy a $1,000 iPhone outright, you might not buy all the AirPods and all the other accessories with it. But when you're buying it with 0% APR, they know that you're much more likely to buy way more things, because you don't have that same pain of spending the $1,000 today. And then third, because so many people end up overspending with over 0% APR, many people will end up happening is that at the end of the 0% APR term, you're not able to pay it off fast enough, which means now you get slapped with a super high interest rate, which means now not only are they selling you more stuff, they're also still getting the interest. So it's a double whammy, where now you're getting hit on spending more money, but then you also pay the interest if you don't pay it off in time. This brings me to money trap number five, which is you do not plan for a life event. The majority of Americans today don't have $1,000 put aside to protect them against an emergency. Now, the reality is life happens and emergencies happen. This is a part of life. Things will go wrong. Accidents will happen. Kids break their arms. Cars get damaged. Maintenance needs to be done. Windows break. And so now, if you don't plan for this, you're going to be the one that pays the price. Now, on one hand, that means having a savings cushion. That way, when things go wrong, you don't have to go into debt to cover that savings cushion. But that also means planning for economic slowdowns. We have seen economic slowdowns happen in the United States pretty much every decade or so. In fact, after the 2008 crash was when we saw the longest period in our modern American history, like over the last century or so, without a recession. Meaning from the Great Depression until now, the longest period that our United States economy has gone without a recession was between 2008 and 2020. And so now, when we know recessions are a part of our economic system, market crashes happen. When you see a recession, asset prices go down. When we see this happen, why are people always so surprised when a recession hits? Because people never want to assume something bad will happen. When things go wrong and things are bad, people assume that nothing good will ever happen again. And likewise, when things are booming, things are good, the economy is growing, nobody thinks that anything bad could ever happen. And then when nobody thinks anything bad could ever happen, they don't prepare or plan for anything bad happening. So that way, when something bad does happen, because it's inevitable, bad things happen. Nothing can go up forever, just like nothing can go down forever, unless it goes to bankrupt. But nothing can go up forever. And so if you plan for everything to just go up in perpetuity, what's going to happen? You're setting yourself up for disaster and failure, which is why you want to be prepared. And this is where you prepare your finances by having some savings cushion put aside, but also being ready to capitalize on investment opportunities and understanding that nothing can go straight up forever. That way you are not shocked and blindsided when bad things happen in the economy, because you've looked at history and you see, oh my God, we had a recession in 2020. Oh my God, we had a recession in 2008. Oh my God, we had a recession in 2000 and 2001. This could happen again. So how do I prepare? That way now I'm not blindsided, but I can also capitalize on what's happening around me. And this is where you prepare for anything to go wrong. The saying is, hope for the best, but plan for the worst. But what ends up happening for the majority of people is they hope for the best and plan for nothing. The sixth trap that you want to avoid is saving all of your money. Now, saving money is better than spending all of your money. But the unfortunate reality with saving your money, especially in this economic system, is that when you save your money, your savings get eaten away by inflation. Inflation has been around for a long time. It's been around since before the pandemic, and it only became a big deal after the pandemic because of how fast inflation started to accelerate. But before the pandemic, your savings were still being eaten away by inflation, although maybe it was only 1% or 2% that your savings were being decreased by. But now with high inflation, it has become so much more important for you to become financially educated, which is where you don't want to save all of your money. If the inflation rate is higher than the interest rate you're getting from your savings, that means your savings are slowly losing value. And now there's a lot of things that you can do with these savings. Obviously, you want to have some cash put aside to protect you against an emergency, and you want to have cash put aside to take advantage of investment opportunities. But then you also want to be investing your money. Now, you can invest this money into your own financial education. You can invest this money into your own business idea. You can invest this money into other people's business ideas, startups. You can invest this money into stocks. You can invest this money into real estate. You can look into investing some of this money into physical gold. There are an infinite number of ways that you can invest this money. But the key is, when you keep that savings all in cash, well, those savings are being eaten away. And the value of those savings are slowly dropping. So you're working hard to save money. But then as the Fed prints money, the hard work that you're working to save is slowly being eaten away. Like, savings, or money rather, is not a very good store of value. If you go to work and you earn $100,000, the 40 or 50 or 60 or 100 hours a week that you put in to earn that $100,000 is symbolized through the $100,000 in cash that you saved. Now, if you saved every one of those dollars that you earned, if you saved all $100,000 and you put it in the bank, well, that $100,000 is a symbol or depiction or value of how much work and effort you provided. Well, 10 years from now, that $100,000 that you have in the bank is not going to be able to buy what $100,000 can today. That doesn't mean that the work or value that you provided has diminished. It means that the store of value which you used to depict how much effort you put in your job has lost value. And so that currency, that cash, is losing value, which is why you want to convert that dead cash into something that also produces value, whether it be in businesses or real estate or something else, where now you're putting the cash to work. But of course, you got to be smart with this. You don't want to just throw your money into investments when it's not a good investment or when it's not a good time to invest, but you have to be educated enough to understand that saving your money is not how you become wealthy. Although most of us were taught that, that's not the reality. If you want to become wealthy, you cannot save your way to wealth. You have to invest your way to wealth. You have to own the assets, and saving your money has to be done strategically. The seventh trap that you want to avoid is avoid high-risk schemes. We all know some people or multiple people that are looking for the next hot thing to get rich quick. Now, nobody wants to call it a get rich scheme because that would be way too obvious. Instead, you look for the next hot thing, the next hot investment, the next hot cryptocurrency, the next hot meme stock. That way you can throw your money in there and hopefully make a lot of money. And maybe you can find it early enough that way you can make that money early on. But the reality is now, the higher the risk you take, the higher chance you have to lose all of your money. Sure, you can see huge returns, but you can also lose all that money just as fast. And this is where now you have to understand that there's a cost to taking all these get-rich-quick investments or schemes or whatever you want to call it, because if you keep losing your money in these things, that's money that isn't being compounded or invested into something that can actually grow sustainably and build you real wealth. And so now, if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. But also understand that if you want to build real sustainable wealth, you have to put your money into assets. For me, the bulk of my investments are into sustainable investments that have proven the test of time. That's about 80% of my investments. The other 20% are more of what I call speculative investments. Some of these are startup investments. Startup investments have the ability to make a lot of money, but statistics show us that the average startup investment will fail. Somewhere between 8 to 9 startup investments will go bust or bankrupt in the first 5 years. So most startups that I invest in will probably fail. I understand that. I also invest in cryptocurrency. Now, cryptocurrency is very volatile. It can go up very quickly, and it can go down just as quickly. Now, I believe in the value of the blockchain and the future of cryptocurrency, which is why I buy it, but I also understand how volatile it is, and I understand that it can go to zero. If it goes to zero, is it going to affect me? No, not really, because it's a small piece of my investment portfolio, although I do believe in it. It's still not a huge chunk of my investment portfolio. I also own some physical gold. This is about 2% of my total investment portfolio because this is an alternative way for me to save hard money. But I also don't dump all of my money into gold because it doesn't really produce any value. It just sits there and looks back at me. And so now if you're going to be investing your money into, say, the more fun, more speculative types of investments, fine. But just make sure you understand where it fits in your investment portfolio. It's okay to have some fun with some of your money in your investments, but you have to know where it fits within your investment portfolio. For me, it's now maybe about 20% of my investment portfolio total, which includes my cryptocurrency, my startup investments, and my physical gold. Before, it was only around 10%, then recently I expanded it to closer to 20% because I have been able to build more wealth so I can afford to have more money in my speculative investments. But this is where you have to find what's the right number for you and understand that, sure, these speculative investments could grow very fast, but they probably won't. And if they don't, are you going to be okay? So you have to make sure you look at your investment portfolio in a holistic manner and understand how you're going to actually build your wealth. The eighth trap that you have to avoid is not investing in your own financial education. And there's a number of different ways that you can do this, because the number one way that you're going to learn, especially on your financial education, is by making mistakes. That means you go out and do something. You go out and you start investing in stocks, you lose money, and then you figure out why you lose money. You start reading more books, you do things to learn how to invest your money better, and that happens by doing, by experience, through mistakes. This experience education cannot be learned anywhere else. You have to go out and do that. But in addition to that, you also want to be spending and investing your money and time into learning as well. That means watching YouTube videos. That is a free way for you to start learning and building that financial education. Then I want you to read books, and then I want you to also take some classes, which cost money. Now, taking classes is probably one of the most, let's call it, argued way of learning and building your financial education. And I know this from firsthand experience, because when I was finishing college, I spent about $3,000, I think it was $3,500, on a real estate class to learn how to wholesale real estate. And I remember when I talked to people about it, because I didn't have tons of money back then. That was a huge sum of money for then. I remember talking to people, and people thought that I lost my mind, that I was investing in buying the scam, and why would I want to pay thousands of dollars to learn how to do this thing? But that $3,000 or $3,500 that I spent on that made me no money in the first month. But then it did make me no money the second month. And then it made me no money the third month. And then it made me no money the fourth month. But then the fifth month, that was when I started making money from the education that I learned. And that was when I started to really apply what I learned. And this is where now understanding that if you want to invest in your financial education by taking some of these classes, number one, understand who is teaching it. Number two, is it reputable? Are you learning something with an actual goal? Or are you learning this how to make six figures in 60 days? Because if it's six figures in 60 days without any actual information on what you're learning, it's probably a scam. But now understanding who's teaching it, what are you learning, and are you ready for it? Because if you don't have the money for that financial education class, then go out and use the free content on the internet. Start investing money when you have money. Because if you just start going into debt and you don't apply the information, well, now you're going to be paying off that bad investment for a long time. And then you also have to ask yourself, are you going to be able to apply and do whatever it takes to utilize that information? Because most people won't. But if you're one of those people that will apply it, then this can be a good investment for you. Because the reality is, with most online education, I think it's like 90% of people will never use the information that they learn. And so if you're one of those 90% of people that are not going to use that information, don't buy it. Save yourself the money and go put that money into the S&P 500 or to the stock market index fund or whatever it is. That way now you can just own something. But if you're actually going to use the information and you know that you will use it and you know that you'll apply it and you're learning from somebody good and it's something that you can actually use, then it can be a worthwhile investment. The ninth trap that you have to avoid is you spend money based off of what you feel that you deserve, not what you can afford. We live in this Instagram flex culture where everybody on the internet has a Gucci bag, everybody drives a Mercedes, everybody has a BMW parked in their parking lot, and everybody travels to the Bahamas and everybody's going to Cancun for some reason. Now, how do they afford it? I have no idea, but this is what's happening. And now when you are in this Instagram culture where everybody has all these nice things, you want to have it too because it seems normal. Everybody has the nice purses. Everybody has the nice clothes. Everybody's going out to these fancy restaurants. So you want to be able to post that as well. And this is where you have to understand that if you spend money based off of what you deserve instead of what you earn, you are going to be spending the rest of your life paying off all those expensive pictures and videos and boomerangs on Instagram, which apparently I was told recently that boomerangs are only for old people. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what somebody was telling me. This is where you have to understand that you got to live within your means. And that means you got to live and act your wage. I think that's what Dave Ramsey says, act your wage. Because if you keep trying to do what everybody else on Instagram is doing, well, they're not the ones paying your bills. You are. And you have to be smart with your spending and live within your means. And that means right now, maybe you don't go on that nice vacation. Maybe you're not going out to the fancy restaurants. Maybe you have to be a little bit more creative. You have to be a little bit more crafty. And if you're willing to make that sacrifice, well, I bet you that 10 years from now, you're going to be able to go out and do all that fancy stuff when all of your friends who were broke, trying to show it off, are going to be struggling to make back their previous payments, while you can go out and do it and afford it. And then all your friends who are Snapchatting and Instagramming all that cool stuff before are going to come to you asking, how can you afford all these nice things now? And this is where you have to kind of get away from the temptation of wanting to show it off right now and want to build that wealth. Because the unfortunate reality is you cannot show off your stock market portfolio the same way you can your Gucci belt. This is why it's so hard for regular people, because everybody is showing off all their nice things. Before, they used to only show it off when you saw them in person, where you'd see that they have the Gucci belt on or whatever the red shoes are, the red bottom shoes or whatever they're called. Now, it's all over social media. And if you're constantly on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Facebook, or whatever other TikTok there is out there, and you keep seeing people post it, you're going to want it too. And when you want it before you can afford it, you're going to spend money that you don't have buying things that you shouldn't be buying when you should be buying assets right now. And the 10th trap that you have to avoid is getting comfortable. Comfort is the biggest disease that prevents people from ever achieving any true financial success or true financial freedom, because when you get comfortable, well, you don't want to leave that comfort. And you get caught into the I have nice health care for my work. I have a nice 401k for my work. I have this nice salary, which, yeah, maybe I don't have the most financial freedom, but I'm comfortable. I can pay my bills and I can get by. And sacrificing that comfort can be very risky because now you go from having all this cushy support and pillow and nest egg to now having nothing. But unless you're willing to take a risk, you're never going to be able to see the huge success that you dream about. And this is where you have to just ask yourself, what is it that you want? Do you want to live big and really have that nice dream stuff that most people dream about? Or do you just want to be comfortable? And if you're not willing to make that sacrifice, you are never going to be able to have that life that most people dream of. And that's okay for most people, but if that's not what you want, you cannot get comfortable in your current situation in your life. You can't get comfortable with your healthcare, your 401k, or your salary. You can't get comfortable with being comfortable. You can't get comfortable with having the nice things, and you can't get comfortable feeling bad for yourself and just kind of going into this whole idea of thinking that, well, this is okay, that this is what I deserve, that this is where I'm supposed to be. No. If you want to have something better, you can't get comfortable where you are, and then you have to go out and do something completely different and then figure out how you can excel, how you can scale, and how you can achieve that life that you want. And that means that you're going to have to do something that's different and uncomfortable. And that's hard because then people will laugh at you. People are going to see that you downgraded your car and they're not going to understand why you went from a BMW to a Toyota. And they might make fun of you. And then they're going to wonder why you're not going on vacation with them anymore. They're going to ask you a lot of questions about why you're not partying with them anymore. They might think that you lost your mind. But this is where now, if you really want to build that wealth, if you really want to have that financial freedom, you're going to have to do things that the majority of people are not willing to do.